Okay, we're going to begin here on the top of Samach Amud Aleph, seven lines down. Gemara is continuing to discuss what it brought up yesterday, which is what is the status of ladders. When you have a ladder that allows one access or egress to a certain area, does that make that area kepetach, like a doorway? Does it make it like it's parutz, as if the wall doesn't exist? Or is it a mechitza? So here we have a statement, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Kotel Shritzpah B'Sulamot. If you have a wall on which he lined up a bunch of ladders, afilu biyeter me'eser, even if it has more than 10 amot across worth of ladders, torat mechitza alav, that wall remains a mechitza. So even though in a normal wall that we had around an area, if there was a pirza, if there's a breach in that wall that was more than 10 amot wide, it would actually cause a problem in terms of the wall. We say usually up to 10 amot is considered to be a petach. Beyond 10 amot is a breach in the wall. So despite the fact here that we have a string of ladders all the way across the wall that exceeds the 10 amot, we still view the wall as a mechitza and not as a breach in the wall. So Rami le Rav Brona le Rav Yehuda v'ma'atzarta d'bei Rav Chinina. So Rav Brona asked Rav Yehuda in the press of Rav Chanina, mi amar Shmuel torat mechitza alav. Did Shmuel really say that this wall with the ladder on it has a din of a mechitza? V'amar Rav Nachman, amar Shmuel. So the same question that was posed yesterday by the Gemara is being posed against here, which is, anshei mirpeset v'anshei chatzer sheshechu v'lo irvu. We have two sets of individuals. We have people who live on the downstairs level who access the chatzer, and we have people upstairs who have a balcony in front of their houses, and then from that balcony they descend into the chatzer. That's called the mirpeset. So they forgot to make an eruv together. If there is some sort of inhibiting obstacle between the mirpeset and the chatzer, that is arba'at fachim high, whether that is, as Tosfot says, a piece of wood or something on the ground, or as Rashi explained yesterday, a small doorway that's 4 tefachim high, eino oseret. Then the mirpeset does not cause problems for the chatzer. Bimlav oseret. Otherwise, it causes problem for the chatzer below. So even though the people from the mirpeset, their only way to get out, their egress is through the chatzer, that doesn't cause necessarily problems for the chatzer. If they demarcate a separation between them, so that the people of the Merpeset do not utilize the Chatzer below. They can walk through it to leave, but as long as they don't utilize it, that'll make them separate, and the people in the Chatzer, since they have an Eruv together, will be fine, and the people in the Merpeset also have an Eruv, and they'll be fine. The question is the interaction between them. But what we see here is, Vimlav, if there is no Daka there, if there is no indication that they've separated themselves out from the Chatzer, then the Merpeset causes a problem for the chatzer. Now, the way that you get from the merpeset to the chatzer is through a ladder. So you see here that the ladder makes it as if there's a breach in the wall of the merpeset. It's as if the merpeset is totally open into the chatzer. So when it says, Achamai Eskina, that case is a case, the lo gva merpeset asara, that the merpeset is not 10 tefachim high. So if it's not 10 tefachim high, it's not considered to be a separate reshut, as if it's an extension of the chatzer. Where it says, ilo gvoa mirpeset asara, ki avi daka, mai havi. Well, if it's less than 10 tefachim high, if he puts up a daka that indicates that they want to separate, what does that do for you? They're not a separate reshut. They're not high enough, tall enough to be a separate reshut. And if that's the case, putting up a daka should make no difference in separating them from the chatzer. So where it says, mi gufefet ad esera mot, that it has walled in. The merpeset has a wall around it, which actually brings it above the 10th fachim level, and the wall around it makes it into a separate reshut. There's an area at the end of the merpeset, which is up to 10 amot, up to the size of a petach, that is open. That area has a ladder that descends into the chatzer. The cave in David daka, isteluke, istaleg, mehocha. So then, if he puts a daka there in that descent from the upper mirpeset down into the chatzer, then he's showing, or they're showing, that they want to separate themselves out from the chatzer. So we solve the problem in the end by saying that this mirpeset, this balcony that sits in front of the upper houses, actually has a railing around it, a mechitza wall around it. So that separates it from the domain below. Even though it's less than 10 tefachim, it separates it, this wall, from the domain below. But there's a portion of the merpeset that is open that allows them to descend down into the chatzer and has a ladder to descend down. That area is less than 10 tefachim high. So if there's nothing there, then the two would be joined again because you have an opening of less than 10 tefachim that opens into a chatzer that would make them into a single entity. And that would cause a problem for the Bnei Chatzer. So the Eruv of the Bnei Chatzer would be ruined by the fact that the people in the Mirpeset can utilize the Chatzer below. Not again because they can walk through it, but because they actually can utilize it. If they put up a Daka at the end of that ladder, then that will help them out because that will show a separation. And that separation will show that the Mirpeset's alone, the Chatzer's alone, and each can make an Eruv independent of the other. But this case is a case where it's below 10 tefachim. Below 10 tefachim is why it's batel to the chatzer. Had it been above 10 tefachim, then Shmuel would have a different din, the din that we just saw before, which is Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel, that a kotel with ritzpah mesulamot is torat mechitza alav. It does not ruin the kotel, it still remains as a mechitza. So it doesn't prove to us, this case hasn't proved to us anything about ladders, because here the platform or the merpeset is below 10 tefachim, so it has a different din. All the cases that we're speaking are about have a mechitza that's above 10 tefachim, and therefore it functions as a mechitza even though it has ladders on it. Hanu bnei kokonai, ta'ata de kameder of Yosef. People of kokonai came before Rav Yosef. Amrulei, havlan gavro de levlan matin. Please give us someone who can make an eruv in our city. Rashi says it was a city that was Yerusha Rabbim that came to Yerusha Yachid, or that it was always a Yerusha Rabbim according to Tosafot. It just wasn't an Yerusha Yachid that became a Yerusha Rabbim. So Amarle le Abaye zil arev lehu. So he says to Abaye, his Talmid, go take care of the eruv there. Chazid lo mitzav chala bebe midrusha. And make sure that you do it in a proper way so that there'll be no criticism of this eruv in the Beit Midrash. Make sure you make a proper halachic eruv there. Azal, chazal hanu bate to betiche the naro. So he saw along the bank of the river, he saw that there were these houses that sat there that opened up towards the river, but did not open up towards the city. Amar hani habishiur the mato. Let these houses be the leftover, the residual that we have to leave over in the city in order to make an eruv here. We said before that to be irsho rabim, you can only put an eruv around it if you leave a shiur, if you leave something over. So here he's going to leave over these three houses as the shiur. It's convenient because they don't even open into the city anyway. They open towards the river. Hadar mar, ein marvim et kulan. Tanan, michlau, de'i bayi le'ruve matzi ma'arve. So he says, wait a minute, the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to make an eruv for the entire city. The implications from that are that if you wanted to, you could make an eruv for the entire city. You just have to make a choice to leave out a portion of it, but you could have made an eruv for it. So over here, you have a problem. These houses only have doorways towards the river. They have no opening facing the city. So you couldn't have included them in an eruv with the city because they don't have anything that joins them with the city, no opening that joins them with the city. So leaving them over may not be considered to be a residual because they never could have belonged to an Eruv in the first place. So Eliyave Lu Kave. Let's make windows in these houses. Windows that are big enough to be considered an opening between them and the city. We'll punch holes, punch windows in the houses and towards the side of the city. And by doing so, then they could become a part of the Eruv in the city. And when we leave them over, that would be a residual. So through the windows, they become a part of the Eruv. Then he thought to himself, oh, you know what? They don't need those windows. This is something we saw earlier in the Gemara back on Daf Kovov, that Rabba Baravua used to make an Eruv in the entire Mechuza. They used to do it neighborhood by neighborhood, section by section. Because of the fruit pits, and that's pits in both senses. They had pits in the pits. You have the picture in Rashi, the same picture they had back on Daf Chavava Amud Aleph, which is they had these large pits full of food for the animals. That for some reason, they separate out the neighborhoods, depending on what the problem is, depending on Rashi, Tosafot, back there on Chavava Amud Aleph, as to whether the pits were so large that they were greater than a Beit Satayim, or because people did not cross over those areas. So he was ma'ariv them separately. But what you see from that is, even though those pits, heiro, the Torah, the food for the shvarim, for the oxen, were in the middle of the city, and they actually caused a physical separation between the neighborhoods, which would preclude you or prevent you from making an eruv between the two neighborhoods, Nevertheless, he went ahead and made an Eruv, neighborhood by neighborhood. So we don't have to have them be ma'arve, or the possibility of having an Eruv, in order for it to be considered a shiur. Because these were separate neighborhoods, they were making their own Eruv, and we don't worry about the fact that they could never be one Eruv, or b'nei Eruv together. And obviously each neighborhood is a shiur, is a residual for the other neighborhood. So he says, you know what? I don't think I'm right about that, because Meshum Perid Beit Or, the Chochad V'chad Avi Shiur L'Chavrei. Because each neighborhood was a residual for the other neighborhood. Had they wanted to make a single Eruv, lo matzu ma'arve, they couldn't make an Eruv. Hadar mar lo dami. And then he's thinking to himself, he goes, you know what, those cases are similar. Hadami by the Eruv Derech Agot, over there in the city of Mechuza, they could have made an Eruv through the roofs. The roofs would connect them. They had some sort of connection through the balconies on the roofs that allowed them to move from one neighborhood to the other. So there was a connection between the neighborhoods that would allow them to make a single Eruv. Bahane Loma Arve. These houses over here, they have no connection to the city. They have nothing that bridges between them and the city. Hilkach Navdin Kave. Again, we'll have to make windows in them so that they can join with the city. Hadar Amar Kave Nami Loboy. And then he changes his mind again and says, you know what? They don't need windows. Dao Bay Tivna. Dable Mar Bar Pupita Mipumpadita. There was this storehouse of grain, a storehouse of straw that would belong to this individual in Pumpadita. The Shavia Shiur the Pumpadita, and they utilized that to be the residual for Pumpadita. So despite the fact that that was not something that would have been included in the Eruv, it wasn't even a living space, it was a storage area. Nevertheless, they utilized that as being the Shiur for Pumpadita. So then he says, you know what, then I don't need the windows. These houses can be the residual, these number of houses that sit on the bank of the river, that face the river, not the city. They can be classified as a shiur residual for the city, and I'll make an Eruv on the remainder of the city. So Amar, he said to himself, I know Dharma Limar. That's what my Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef, said to me. Chazit lo mitzav chala b'bei midrasha. Make sure you do this in a way that they won't get upset about this in the Beit Midrash, which you did, because he had done basically all the questions that would have come up in the Beit Midrash. He posed to himself, and he went through the iterations of deciding, and then he made the Eruv for them in a way that was proper. The Mishnah said that you have to leave over kenasah chutzala ke'ir chadasha, unless you leave over a residual in the city ke'ir chadasha. Again, Rashi on the Mishnah, Tosafot over here, mentions Ir Chadasha is a city mentioned in Sefer Yoshua. It's actually a city that was that size. Said, again, population 50 in it, according to Rabbi Yehuda, and according to Rabbi Shimon, it has to have Gimel Chatzerot, Shoshnei Batim. Tanya, Amr Rabbi Yehuda, Ir Achat Haita B'Yuda, V'Chadasha Shema. V'Yuba, Nun Diurim. It had 50 inhabitants, Anashim, V'Nashim, V'Taf, men, women, and children. Uba Yu Misharim Chachamim. And that's the paradigm that they used for a city. So that was considered to be a residual because we have a city that's actually that size. V'yaita shiur. And that's the definition of that residual in the Mishnah. Ibailu chadasha mahu. That leftover piece that you leave over, can they make an Eruv amongst themselves? Just like the Ir Chadasha or something that size is a residual for the large part of the city. So for instance, in the case by Bnei Kakunai, where Rabbi Yosef sends Abaye to make an Eruv for them. Those houses that were left out of the Eruv, or that area that was left out of the Eruv, can they then make an Eruv by themselves? Just like they are a shiur, a residual for the remainder of the city, can those three houses make an Eruv and say that the city, the bigger, larger part of the city, is a residual for them? Gemara says, Chadash, ki yekedi avi shiur l'gdola. Dola nami avi shiur l'ktana. That's not a question. Because Chadasha, just like it's a shiur for the larger part of the city, so too, the larger part of the city is also a shiur for the ktana. Ela ke'ein chadasha mahu. Question is, a city like chadasha, what do you do? Vona v'rav Yehuda. Chadamar ba'i shiur. That requires a residual. V'chadamar lo ba'i shiur. Doesn't require residual. Because it's the size of the residual, it doesn't require residual. One of them says, it does require its own residual because that's the definition of what you have to do with an Ir Shel Rabim. What's interesting over here by the Ir Chadasha Shebiuda is that the Gemara wants to know if you have a city that size, what's the din of the city in terms of making an Eruv there? Now we know that when it comes to a city of that size, I mean, Rabbi Yehuda thinks it only has 50 diurim. Rabbi Shimon thinks it has 3 chatzerot with 2 batim each, is the size of this Ir Chadasha, or the minimum size. And yet they're asking, what do you do with an Ir Chadasha in terms of putting an Eruv around it? Why would you worry about it? Ir Shel Rabim, we already saw what the qualifications of Ir Shel Rabim are. 600,000 people traversing it. And Rishut Rabim, that is 16 amot wide. It's hard to understand why they had to put an eruv around this city and worry about an Irsha Rabim. The only possibility is that it was downgraded. It was an Irsha Rabim that downgraded to Irsha Yachid, so it still had a status of an Irsha Rabim, or that it had large marketplaces that brought 600,000 people into the city on a temporary basis. Not always that they were living there, but despite the size of the city, they invited large numbers of people to the city. But otherwise, it's interesting that the Gemara is asking this question. In the context of being part of a larger city, that was the first question we thought. And the Gemara says simply that's, of course, the other side is a residual for, each piece is a residual for the other. In that context, you can understand that it was near Shirabim because it was part of a larger city. But over here, where it's standalone and they're asking the question, it's a little bit problematic or questionable about why you need to worry about this at all, because how did it become an Irsha Rabim if that's really the size of the city? Rishimon Omer, Gimel Chatzerot, if you have three Chatzerot with two Batim, that's considered to be a Shiur. Amar Rav Chama Bar Guri Amar Rav, Halocha ki Rabbi Shimon. The Halocha here is like Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yitzchak Amar, Afilu Bayit Echad V'Chatzer Echad. So even if you have one house and one chatzer, that is sufficient. When it says, chatzer achat, sakadatva, what do you mean one chatzer? What's a chatzer without any houses in it? Ela'im abayit achat bichatzer achat. It's one house off of a single courtyard. That is sufficient to be considered a shiur. Amalei abayit the Rav Yosef. So abayit says to his Rebbe, Rav Yosef, had Rabbi Yitzchak, this statement that Rabbi Yitzchak just made, Gemara, is that something he had by Misora or Svaro? Or is that just a logical argument? He has some sort of reason behind it, but there's a logic to his statement. He didn't have a Misora about it. Malay, my nafkalon mino. Why does it make a difference? Why do you care what Rabbi Yitzchak says? Because halacha ke Rabbi Shimon. Halacha ke Rabbi Shimon, whatever Rabbi Yitzchak says, whether it's Misora, whether it's logic, it doesn't matter. It has no implications to halacha, because we're going to pass him like Rabbi Shimon anyway. So Amarlei, Abai responds to Rav Yosef, which is interesting here. Abai, who's Rav Yosef's Talmud, responds to Rav Yosef, Gemara Gemur is Mur today? What? Torah Shval Peh should just be like a song? We don't have to identify, understand everything that's written here. We have Torah Shval Peh, we're learning Torah. It's not just like we throw things out willy-nilly. We need to understand this, how the statements are made, why they're made in this way. We can't just flow through it as if it's a song. So again, it's interesting that the Talmud is saying this to the Rebbe. Usually you would expect the Rebbe to be saying this to the Talmud. But here you have Abai saying this to Rabbi Yosef. I want to understand the position of Rabbi Yitzchak, even though you're right, it's not the halacha. Nevertheless, I want to understand his position. Okay, next Mishnah. Misha yab b'mizrach, v'amar livno arev li b'marav. He was east of his house, and he tells his son, put out an eruv for me west of my house. Bimarav, he was on the west side of his house. Number no, Rav Liba Mizrach, put out an eruv for me on the eastern side. Im yeshe menu ulveito apay mama, if between him and his house there is 2,000 amot, ule eruvo yoter mikan, and if from him to his eruv is more than that, mutar lebeito vasur le eruvo, and he's allowed to go to his house. His shvita is in his house, but his eruv is out of the picture. This has to do with something we discussed earlier in the Masechta, which is that you and your Eruv have to be in the same location. Your Eruv cannot be beyond your reach on the onset of Shabbat. So over here, if his house is 2,000 amot away from him, his house is within reach for him. So he can have his Shvita in the house without any problem because he's within 2,000 amot of his house. This Eruv is beyond the 2,000 amot that he can walk. That means that he and his Eruv are not in the same location on the onset of Shabbat. So that Eruv becomes meaningless. The question we have now is, why does he then attain the status of his shvita being in his house? We've seen before that if a person tries to make an eruv that fails, and he doesn't want to have his eruv where he is now, he has nothing. When he has nothing, all he gets is dal and amot. Over here, the Mishnah says that he makes his eruv beyond his house. He has his son to place an eruv for him beyond his house. Because it fails, because it's too far away from him, he ends up getting a shvita in his house. Why are we giving him a shvita in his house? So Rashi explains, Kevon de Inu Eruv, since his Eruv fails, the one that his son put out, Havile Shvitato Viveito, Shari Vitchum Beito Hava. Automatically his Shvita is in his house because his house was within his Tchum. Despite the fact that we said earlier in the Mesechta that someone whose Eruv fails and they don't want to have their Shvita where they are, they get nothing. They're stuck in the Da'at Amot. Rashi says, Hani Mile Bibaba Derech. That's someone who's coming on the way. The Kevon de Makom Ploni Lo Yocholik Note. Since where he wants to make his Eruv is more than 2,000 amot away, and where he is right now is not something that he wants. He doesn't want Shvita where he is right now. He has no Shvita at all. Therefore, he can't move from his place. The default status is that he wants his house. He's basically, if his Eruv doesn't work, the assumption is that his house will be the Eruv, because that's the default status, or that's the thinking of an individual. Person says, I want my Eruv in such and such a place. Obviously, if it fails, he wants it to be in his house. The alternative is always your house, because that is your main place. So that'll always be the default status, if you're within range of your house. If you're not within range of your house, and then you give up your Shvita to where you are, and you try to make it somewhere else, and it fails in both places, then you're really stuck. So that's why this is different than those cases that we saw above. On the other hand, if Eruvo is Alpai Mama, to his Eruv is 2,000 Amot, Ule Beito Yeter Mikan, but to his house is more than that, Asur Lebeito, then he's Asur to go to his house, Umutar Leeruvo, and he can use his Shvita goes to his Eruv, because his Eruv and he are in the same place, his house and he are not in the same location on the onset of Shabbat. Hanotein et Eruvo be Ibura Shel Ir, someone places the Eruv within 70 and 2/3 Amot around the city. Lo asa v'lo klum. He did nothing because he hasn't exited the city yet. So he's still within the confines, the perimeter, or the limits of the city. And because of that, he remains a member of the city. Shvita's in the city, and his Eruv hasn't changed that fact. Nadoch chutz l'tchum. As soon as he puts it outside the tchum, afilo ama achat, even one ama, then mashi niskar umafsid. Whatever he gains on one side, he's going to lose on the other side. Which is the basic premise of Eruv, is that you want to extend your tchum to one direction. Whatever you extend in that direction, you'll lose in the other direction, because that's the whole point of the Eruv. Now, when it says chutz l'tchum here, it doesn't literally mean chutz l'tchum, because if you're chutz l'tchum, then your Eruv wouldn't take effect. Chutz l'tchum means outside the tchum of the city, outside the perimeter of the city. This is what Tosafot uses a proof before, when we had this in the Gemara, that chutz l'tchum does not mean outside of the tchum, but rather outside the city limits, outside of the ibura shel ir. So kal sacha datcha, you would think that when the Mishnah says he asked his son to put out the eruv, mizrach, the mizrach beito. East means east of his house, the way I explained it in the Mishnah. The marav is the marav beito. And west means west of his house. So now, bishlama, I can understand the Mishnah then, hemenu ulu beito alpai mama, in a case where it's 2,000 amot from him to his house. And his Eruv is further out. Mishkachala. That you can have that. That he can reach his house, but he can't reach his Eruv. Since he's now in the west, and he asked his son to put out his Eruv on the east, it's easily understandable how he could reach his house and not reach his Eruv, because his Eruv is beyond the distance of his house. But then how do you understand the second case of the Mishnah, where from him to his Eruv is 2,000 Amot, and then to his house, it's further than that. How is that possible? How is that plausible? If he's putting the Eruv on the other side of his house, then his Eruv will always be further than his house. So how do you have a situation in which his Eruv is closer to him than his house? Your assumption is wrong. In the Mishnah, when you said it means east, east of his house, west, west of his house, that's not what it meant. No. The Mizrach, this is Mizrach Beno. It says east, it means east of where his son is currently. The Marav is the Marav Beno, to the west of where his son is currently. So it had, the reference point is not the house, the reference point is his son. If that's the case, you have a possibility where the Eruv could be closer to you than your house is, because the reference is not the house. So that's the answer, according to Rabbi Yitzchak. Rava bar Rav Shila, or Rabba bar Rav Shila Amar, Afilu teima lemizrach, lemizrach beito, lemarav, lemarav beito. East and west is referencing the house. Kagon, detai beite balachsona. His house is on an angle. The picture you can see in Rashi, that he places the Eruv, you can see here, east of the house, past his house, yet he's still closer to his Eruv because from where he is to his house is on an angle. Right now you have almost a triangle where the hypotenuse is to his house and the direct line is to the Eruv. But you can see that the Eruv is situated beyond his house. So it accomplishes both things. It says that the Eruv is east of his house, yet he's able to reach his Eruv but not reach his house. So you can't come up with a case where that if both are true, that the reference point is the house, and yet the Eruv is still closer to him. That has to do with the angle between him and the house and him and the Eruv. We were assuming that it was a straight line to his house and then a straight line to the Eruv. So in that case, of course, his Eruv is beyond his house. But if you set it up in this way, then his Eruv could be closer to him than his house is. How could it be outside the tchum? Elayim achutz li ibura. Chutz li tchum here means, as we explained in the Mishnah, chutz li ibura, outside the limits of the city, outside the 70 and 2/3 amot, outside of the city, which is considered to be part and parcel of the city. Mashni skar hum afsid. Whatever he gains on one side, he loses on the other side. Mashni skar betulo. Whatever he gains and no more. Vatanya, anotene teiru betoch ibura shalir, lo asav lo klum. Breita says that he puts his name roof inside the perimeter of the city. Lo asav lo klum, he did nothing. Netano chutz li ibura shalir, places that side the ibura shalir, then afilu ama achat, even one ama, mistaker oto ama, umafsid et kol ir kula. He gains that one ama and then loses the whole city. Mipnei shemidat ha'ir olo lo midat chum, because the city now counts towards his chum. While he was in this city was considered to be a singular place. Total of Dalet Amot, there was no measurement to the city. He counted his tchum. No matter where he went in the city, the tchum only began outside the perimeter of the city. So he can go all the way to the east of the city, and then he gets 2,000 Amot beyond the city. Goes to the west side, he gets 2,000 Amot beyond the western side of the city. Now that he put his Eruv outside of the city, all of a sudden he counts 2,000 Amot in each direction. So he gains. To the side that he put his Eruv, he gains an Amah in that direction because he's an Amah beyond the city. But in the other direction towards the city, he's lost out now because the city is going to count towards his 2,000 Amot. And he's now not going to be able to go from the western side of the city 2,000 Amot. He's only going to be able to go 2,000 Amot from where he is on the eastern side of the city. What happens if the city itself is 2,000 Amot? He's going to have lost out much more than he's gained on the other side. Mar says, Lo kasha, that's not a question. There's a big difference between the Mishnah and the Braita. Kan shekalta midato b'chatzi ayir. Kan shekalta midato b'sof ayir ukid Rabbi Idi. There's a big difference, we'll read Rabbi Idi in one second. There's a big difference between whether your tchum ends in the middle of the city or whether your tchum extends beyond the city. That is, if from where you are currently, 2,000 Amot goes beyond the city, then the city does not count towards your 2,000 Amot. It becomes Dalet Amot. It becomes worth 4 Amot. The whole city is considered to be Dalet Amot at that point in time because your 2,000 Amot would have otherwise crossed over the city. And so because of that, the city now is looked at or viewed as being Dalet Amot. That means that from your Eruv, you put it 1 Amot outside of the city. To the side that you put it out, you can now walk another 2,000 Amot. Or from the edge of the city, 2,001 Amot. To the other direction, assuming that your 2,000 Amot cover the whole city, in the other direction you will now be allowed to walk 1,996 Amot, because you have 4 Amot that the city is designated, that will subtract from it, and then you have 2,000 Amot that go. One of those Amot is already on the other side of the city, and the remainder will be on the further side of the city. So to be from beyond the city, you can walk 1,995 Amot. So that's why we say he didn't lose anything. He didn't lose anything because he gained the Amah to one side, and now he loses the Amah on the other side. The truth is he really does lose something because the city now counts as Dalet Amot, whereas before when he's in the city didn't count as anything. So that we'll speak about in one second with regards to that in Tosafot. Damar Avidi Amar Rabbi Shuv ben Levi, Haya Modeid Uba, he was measuring his Tchum, V'kalta Midato B'chatzi Ayir. As 2,000 Amot end in the middle of the city. In lo elochatzi ayir. That's where you end. You don't gain the city, you just gain up to the point in the city where your tchum ends. Tal tamidato b'sof ayir. If the 2,000 Amot go beyond the city, nasid lo ayir, kulak in dalet Amot. The whole city becomes now the size of 4 Amot, umashlim lo atashar. And then you continue after the city, as if the city is 4 Amot, and you continue afterwards. So that's the answer. Our Mishnah is in a case where it's 2,000 Amot cover the whole city. So the city now becomes as if it's Dalet Amot, and you get 1,996 Amot beyond the city for your tchum, minus whatever you moved in the other direction of the city. So bashniskar umafsi, whatever you gain on one side, you're going to lose on the other side. In the case of the bright, there's a case where your 2,000 Amot end in the middle of the city. When they end in the middle of the city, that's it. That's the end of your Eruv. Your Eruv goes no further, and you do not gain the city. That's a case where you lose. You lose big. Because now you can't go over to the other side of the city and beyond 2,000 amot. You end at that point. Wherever it is, that's where you end. So now, what's interesting here is, I just described to you the case, even with that explanation in the Mishnah, you're still losing out. Because before, you were in the city, and you could go in any direction from the city past the Yibur HaYir, you count 2,000 amot, and you go in every direction, that's your benefit. You get the benefit of the city being zero. The city is counted as zero. You go to the edge of the city, 2,000 amot on the eastern side, edge of the city on the western side, get 2,000 amot. All of a sudden now, you put your Eruv outside the city, and you gain 2,000 amot to the direction that you went in. But in the other direction, the city now counts as 4 amot. So that reduces your Eruv to that direction by 4 amot, whereas before you had no reduction. You're losing more than you gained. Yes, you gained one amah in that direction, so you lose an amah in the other direction. But you lose more than an amah in the other direction. You lose the city now, which is 4 amot. So even in a case where your 2,000 amot go beyond the city, and the city only counts as 4 amot, you still lose those 4 amot. How do we deal with that? So Tosafot asks a question. In the context of asking that question, his answer is, remember that when you set up an Eruv, you get 4 amot of personal space around the Eruv. That 4 amot of personal space, the 2,000 amot only start to get counted outside of your personal 4 amot. So that's the answer. The answer is, yes, you lose the 4 amot of the city, but you gain personal space at 4 amot, which you did have in the city. In the city, the edge of the perimeter of where that, wherever it ends, of the Yibur HaYir, count the 2,000 amot out, that's it. You don't gain extra space outside of that for your quote-unquote personal space. That's it, the city itself, and then you get beyond it. Over here, your personal space gives you 4 amot before you ever start to count. And so because of that, you make up for the loss of the city, of the 4 amot of the city, by having the personal space at 4 amot. So that works well according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Eliezer, who said either you're in the middle of your 4 amot, or Rabbi Yehuda says you get 4 amot, you can go each direction. We had an opinion back there that you get 8 amot. So according to the opinion that you have 8 amot, you actually are going to gain. Because if you have 8 amot of personal space, then you're going to gain 4 amot. The city will only be worth 4 amot, but you have 8 amot of personal space now. Your counting will only start after 8 amot. So because of that, you actually will benefit over here. You'll actually benefit by 4 amot by taking your Eruv out of the city. In addition, Tosafot says, if you put your Eruv within the end of the city, within the Yibur HaShalir, the Gemara said, lo asav lo klum, you did nothing. Tosafot says, why did I do nothing? If I'm within one amah at the end of the Yibur HaShalir, then I have my 4 amot of personal space, and those 4 amot extend beyond the city. That means my 2,000 amot actually start outside of what would have been the city limits before. Before, my 2,000 amot would have started from the Yibur HaShalir. Now that I'm one amah away from inside of the Yibur, I have my 4 amot go out. That means I go 3 amot out beyond the Yibur HaShalir. Then I start getting my 2,000 amot. So I actually gain by putting my Eruv there. So why does the Gemara say, lo asav lo klum? So Tosafot says that as long as you're in the city, you don't get dalet amot. No matter where you are in the city, even if you're on the edge of the city, we look at you as if you're in the middle of the city. So even though you're at the tail, right at the edge of the city, and your 4 amot would extend beyond the city, it doesn't matter. As long as you're within the limits of the city, you're considered to be part of the city as if you're in the middle of the city. If you're in the middle of the city, then the dalet amot have no impact, and that'll be the case here as well. So that's why the Gemara says, when you're at the edge of the Yibur and you put your Eruv down there, it has no impact. Even though, if you gave him 4 amot, he would have impact. We don't give him 4 amot because he's considered to be a member of the city. When you're a member of the city, it's as if you're in the middle of the city, and your 4 amot are meaningless in that case. So then we have Amar Ravidi, Ein Elu Ela Divrei Niviyut. That statement, Ravidi just quoted the name of Rabbi Shua ben Levi, he says about that, those are words of prophecy. What does that mean, words of prophecy? So both Rashi and Tosafot over here read it in a positive way. Rashi says, if he didn't have a Masor for this, love Amar, he would never have said it. He would never have said something like this without giving any reason if it wasn't the fact that he had a Masorah. So the statement is, these are the very Neviut, this must be like a Halacha L'Moshe Mitzrayim, something that he had been Masorah, because he didn't explain it. And he's saying making a statement like this must be that that is a Masorah that he had. Tosafot goes through here and says that it is the Shevach. And he says, don't think it's negative. He brings other examples where it's used throughout Shas. And it's clear that it's a Shevach. Even though in one place it is used negatively, and over here it seems to mimic that, is because we have a statement after which is Mali Kalta B'Chazir, Mali Kalta B'Sofir. Why should it make a difference if the Eruv that he has, his 2,000 amot, end in the middle of the city or the end of the city? Why in one case does the city count, in one case the city does not count? Why should that make a difference? From that statement, it makes it sound like Rav Idi is challenging Rav Yishuv ben Levi's position and saying, This is made up because there's no such distinction. Where is such a distinction? And then we have an answer. Amarava. Rava comes and it responds to that. So it sounds like he's questioning the logic of Rabbi Shimon Levi, and Rava comes along and explains that logic. Despite the fact Tosafot says that's not the case. That's not what's happening here. Rabbi Idi is just simply saying that this must be Misora, because I don't understand the reason for it, so there must be something to it, but he had to be Misora. Rava comes along and says, what's the big deal? I can explain to you the difference here. I can show you that this difference exists in other places. So not that they're having a basic discussion about Rabbi Shimon ben Levi's position, and Rabbi Idi is saying it doesn't make sense, and Rava is saying it does make sense, but rather, they're both agreeing that what he said is true. Just a question of what's the logic behind it. Ravidi is unable to see the logic, and Rav is explaining the logic behind it. And it just tells us, as an aside here, proves that if you're land the city, if you stay in a city, then the whole city is considered for you to be Dalet Amot, even if your tchum would end before the end of the city. Meaning that once you've designated a major Shvitah within the year, then the year becomes for you as if it doesn't exist. That's because of Lanba. Lanba has a din, that you're granted that right, that the city becomes as if it doesn't exist for you, even though technically your 2,000 amot would end in the middle of the city. Even if you're outside the city and you extended that you want your Shvitah to be in the city, or you have Eruv in the city, then you're as if you're living in the city, and the city becomes non-existent for you. You don't count for where you are outside the city now, 2,000 amot, see it ends in the middle, and say, okay, that's it. Because as soon as you become a member of the city, you gain all the benefits of being in that city, and the city is considered to be Dalet Amot for you. Amarova, Tarvayu, Taninu. Both of these positions we have in the Mishnah. Anshe Ira Gdola, Machalim et al Ir Ktana. If you have a large city that is adjacent to a Ir Ktana, meaning that the 2,000 amot of the big city extend beyond the Ir Ktana, then the Anshe Ira Gdola can traverse the entire small city. On the other hand, the people in the small city who are adjacent to the big city, they can't walk the entire big city. My time. What's the reason behind it? La mishum da'ani kalto midatan b'chatsir, v'ana kalto midatan b'sofayir. It's a very easy explanation. The big city has their 2,000 amot go beyond the little city. So because of that, they can traverse that whole little city because it becomes like Dalet Amot for them. On the other hand, for the people in the small city, their 2,000 amot end in the middle of the big city. So since that's the case, they can't go beyond those 2,000 amot and they can't traverse the entire big city. V'Rabbi Idi, how's Rabbi Idi going to deal with that Mishnah? Anche tani. Umukim la benotain. Ava modeid lo tnan. It's talking about a case where they placed it, and not a case of modeid, where he is mentioning it. Therefore, the people in the big city, if they place their roof in the little city, it works, and the little city becomes like Dalet Amot for him. The people in the little city, if they place their roof in the big city, they can also walk the whole little city. Wait a minute. Didn't they? Mishnah that we just quoted said, "Anshe Yir Gdola Mehalchim Et Kol Yir Ktana, Ve'ein Anshe Yir Ktana Mehalchim Et Kol Yir Gdola." How could he say that it works in both directions? That's the answer, which is Rav Idi Tani Anshe Tani. The way he had his Mishnah written out was, it was Anshe Yir Gdola Mehalchim Et Kol Yir Ktana, Ve'anshe Yir Ktana Mehalchim Et Kol Yir Gdola. He has to be Anshe. Mukim La Benotein Aval Modeid Lo Tnan. It's not discussing this issue of Modeid. And Rav, on the other hand, who has to be approved to him, has the Mishnah read, Anshe Yir Gdola Mehalchim Et Kol Yir Ktana, Ve'ein Anshe Yir Ktana. So since, according to Rav, there's a difference in the Mishnah between Anshe Yir Ktana and Gdola, he has to explain that difference. Whereas according to Rav Idi, they have the same din. Anshe Yir Ktana has the same din as Anshe Yir Gdola, because he doesn't have the word Ein in his Mishnah. And because of that, he says the Mishnah is just talking about a case where you put your Eruv in the next city. It's telling you that when you put your Eruv in the next city, you become like a member of that city, and you can walk the entire city, and you get your 2,000 amot from outside of the city at that point in time. But because of that, it's not a proof to that position of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Okay, we'll stop over here.